7:30 on a Tuesday morning. It's a good morning and welcome to Steph Buerta from Rainmaker, Director of Rainmaker, and an expert in matters North Coast, particularly property matters. Welcome to the morning show, Steph.
Hello, Dave. Thanks for having me. And, always good to be here.
Yeah, it's been a while since we chatted. Not terribly long, but it's been an interesting pause. And during that pause, you've been involved in, there was another exciting event on Thursday that you attended, a property type event. Just let's unpack some of that.
Yeah, Dave. I mean, I think so. From a Rainmaker perspective, we've tried to host an event every quarter. We started doing it last year to try and coincide with the launch of our property market reports. The last one we did was on Somerset West and Stellenbosch. We've just the event the other night was talking about a report we did in Mshlanga, Mshloti and Sabaya, and then we'll talk about later, but releasing our next report in the North Coast. But the whole big thing was just trying to paint a macro picture on KZN.
Okay.
We're all passionate about KZN, regardless of whether we live here, invest here, work here, and we really wanted to try and bring perspective to what's happening in the market. Everyone outside of KZN is always talking about how we have looting and we have flooding and we have all the different factors and all the different own goals, but we wanted to focus on the fundamentals. So the objective was to talk macro picture, and we invited Investec to talk about the macro picture within KZN from an investment perspective and what's driving the economic growth. And it's amazing to see. And then we had Betterbond, who firstly spoke about the market as a whole within South Africa in terms of what's happening, what they're seeing, because they're so close to the action in terms of transfers and stuff like that, and just link it back to KZN. We then spoke about our Mshloti and Sabaya report. And then because quite a big focus of that was a Sabaya Coastal Precinct, because actually for the first time in the last 12 months, the transfers in Sabaya alone exceeded Mshlanga as a town holistically, which is quite a big thing. Sure. And so we had the team from DevEmco who were talking about this precinct that they're unlocking and what that means in terms of managed precincts and so forth. So there were some really, really good insights. And I think it was vitally important for us to try and portray the right picture of KZN for all of us to have the information at our disposal. That's vitally important.
And the right picture, one can't help but feel that at the moment politically there is great uncertainty, not only from an international perspective but also local. It would appear that KZN is the one province where there is a very strong likelihood of a sort of political shift in the next election. I'm talking local election. And the shift could be to a more socialist approach to local government and, generally speaking, trade and industry. Does this impact at all on investor confidence?
So, I mean, I think we know that going into the last elections, we were sort of the ones where there were so many variables. I mean, obviously, I think post what happened elections and post GNU, I think there was obviously a massive sort of wave of relief within KZN. And I think we've seen that in terms of investor confidence. But what is really interesting was Daniel Friedman from Investec, and I'd listened to him speak before at a presentation to banks. And I was like, people have to hear this. So he spoke about a couple of things. He spoke about the key infrastructural drivers in the province from their perspective is one is the privatization of Pier 2, which, interesting enough, 46% of South Africa's container throughput comes through that one container or that one terminal. And that being privatized has a huge, huge impact in terms of just the general economic outlook within the province. And they also spoke about the privatization of Transnet's rail network. They were saying 85% of Africa's rail network sits with Transnet, which is quite significant. And the impact that has in KZN, and also what that has done in terms of unlocking investment in that Camperdown Cato Ridge node. And I think that's stuff that we don't necessarily always know about.
I was going to say, has it been privatized?
It's in the process of being privatized, yeah.
Wow.
So basically, they're partnering with private entities to unlock certain components of it, which for everyone is a huge thing to know. I mean, the fact that 85% of Africa's rail network is controlled by Transnet is a huge thing. Hey?
It is, and one hears about infrastructure being destroyed, literally, and you see pictures of railway lines being used for scrap metal and stations disappeared. But you say that there is a turnaround, at least in certain quarters, and on the KZN front is looking positive.
100%, and I think that was their outlook. So we start off by the macro sort of outlook for KZN, and then that coincided with the macro property outlook, which in many cases has got really, really good green shoots. If we look at KZN holistically, and I think what Berrebon did, as I said, Bo, listen, as a market as a whole, we've seen an uptick in Jan 25 South Africa as well as KZN. We have seen the fact that banks are a lot more conservative than they were historically. They're requesting higher deposits from most owners, which I think is a natural thing. And then we all agree that obviously we need interest rate cuts, and we were on a good cycle, and then we had one. The last announcement was zero cuts. But there are lots of positives, and we're seeing positives on the ground here, which then coincides with then zoning in specific to what's actually happening transfer-wise, as opposed to what's happening perception-wise or sentiment-wise.
Perception and sentiment, though, is very important. One's perception is one's reality, end of the story. So it's conversations like these are very important, because when you get information that is counter to the general zeitgeist, because the mainstream media just goes with whatever's the most horrific, you know, and generally speaking, there's plenty of that around. Yeah, I know that. I look for the news every morning, and I battle to find good news. Sure. But this is very good news.
Nice.
I presume also there is a continuous trend of people looking for opportunity, both lifestyle and investment. It has traditionally been towards the Western Cape, because clearly there is functioning government, local government in the Western Cape, which is very attractive. But KZN, and particularly northern KZN, our region, is very attractive for those from the more industrial heartland. It's closer, and if they don't have to relocate their entire business operation, but rather simply a lifestyle relocation, with the airport being as close as it is this a trend that continues?
Yeah, I think so. I think when we look at the property markets, and I did say it when I spoke on Thursday, is we look at the pockets of excellence, and KZN has a few. We probably have less than the Western Cape, and we've got that. What we spoke about, the pocket of excellence, Mshlanga and Sabaya, Upper Highway, what they're doing with West Town and so forth. And then obviously the North Coast is a huge pocket of excellence. And I mean, just in this next report that we're releasing in 2 weeks' time, we focus on Ballito, Salt Rock, and then effectively what's called Kwadakuzi NU, which is a state on the western side of the N2, your Fairview, your Springvale, your Lalelas, those that don't necessarily fall into the transfer data for Ballito and Salt Rock, and really analysing what's happening on the ground. It's quite interesting. If you look at the immigration stats at the moment, people moving from different metros, we're seeing that there's definitely an element of what people have been trying to avoid saying is the reverse immigration. And that's people who had previously relocated to areas like the Western Cape and now are being pulled back to Gauteng for work purposes, with a lot of big banks and big corporates going back into the office.
And that's a real trend.
It is a real trend. And I know people have ignored that trend, but it is a real thing. And again, it's also the fact the cost of living in areas like the Western Cape is so much higher than what it is in areas like this. And then we're still seeing a steady stream. I mean, 2 weeks ago, you guys have been involved in the campaign with Salt Rock City, where more land was sold in one day, 100 plots were sold in one day, than has ever been sold in one day on the North Coast.
Wow.
True.
And that, again, it's a combination of the aspirational nature wanting to be in the States, but also people moving from other areas of the province. It is always going to be that Joburg component, which is lower than it was historically, but we see it growing. And I think, again, what we have here, and I always say it, is that we've got a lifestyle second to none at a price that is significantly lower than you'll find in areas like the Western Cape. And that's what continues to drive momentum.
And then the final question before I let you, I know you're very busy and you've got a dash, but if the trends are as they are right now, are they likely to continue? And I ask that question simply because one is always future gazing and with the unknown of the elections popping in to the equation, with the rand, well, it's recovered slightly, but it's still below where we'd like it to be in terms of international investment, and then international pressure that's being brought to bear. Are we likely to see a continuum of the present level of investment? Is it likely to drop off, or is it likely to increase? I know I'm asking you to stargaze here, but what is your impression?
No, 100%. I think the magic wand. I mean, the reality is, I think people look at investment from different perspectives. There are some who are so focused on what's happening every time Trump opens his mouth, what's happening with Iran, what's happening with all the different factors that I guess, in a way, we can't necessarily control. Or there are those that are looking from a a strategic investment perspective, whether it be property or whether it be commercial, whatever it may be, looking at where are the best places to invest right now in the country that are as low risk as possible and that probably potentially give you the best returns. And in terms of the North Coast, and I mean, I always say, and I'm saying this unbiasedly because you look at projects around the country, it is without a doubt, if you're looking from a sound investment perspective, you're looking at the driving factors we spoke about last time. Yes, we had challenges with power in December. Those are going to be ongoing challenges as infrastructure grows. Western Cape have got those challenges too. It's let's be honest. But when things are moving in the right direction in terms of movement of population, growth of infrastructure, there's some really exciting announcements around schools that are happening, which is always a big, big factor for a place like this. And you look at the property volume of transactions, people moving into the area, people increasing where they're living and so forth, it's got to be positive. And I guess that's all we can focus on from our perspective is looking at what's actually happening as opposed to what might happen with factors that are out of our control, I guess.
Yeah, this conversation is, again, a shot in the arm, a tonic. Because the news is good. There is, of course, we're not
100%
looking at it with sort of blinkers. There are problems, but generally speaking, I think we've got reason to be optimistic, which is fabulous.
Yeah,
Steph, after your next get together, when you start looking at properties on the North Coast and trends on the North Coast, I think it'd be wonderful to get you back in because I clearly have a vested interest here, as does the King, and a huge number of our listeners would be very, very keen to hear that perspective too.
Yeah.
So can we invite you to pop back in?
100%, Dave, and I think the thing with that report is the way we analyze it differently to what's been done before. Really looking at what's happening in and out of the states, what's happening in terms of population growth, immigration growth, all the stats that I think everyone wants to know. We've assimilated into one report, which we are releasing, and I really would love to come and chat to you about it and just give people a bit of insight.
Well, you have an invitation, and I look forward to setting that date in stone. And until we get together again, thank you for joining us on a Tuesday morning.
Thank you.
Stay dry, and we'll catch up in a week or so's time.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
And Steph Wurter, Director of Rainmaker Marketing, and you're on The Morning Show. The Morning Show continues.